Everybody, let's pick up where we left off yesterday. Just to refresh our memories, we started to talk about Birchas HaGomel. And the reason why we discussed it is because over Yom Tov, somebody made a Birchas HaGomel one day because he told me that his child went missing, his young child went missing, and he thought it was a big sakana because they could have run into the street and something could have happened to the child. They called the police. In the end, the child was fine and no harm was done at all. And he felt that was a good enough reason to bench Gomel. The first reason yesterday that I raised an objection was over the fact that perhaps a Birchas HaGomel is not always warranted. Maybe it's only when one actually finds themselves in this sakana and then was saved, that is the only time when the bracha is recited. But here, where potentially there could have been a sakana, meaning the child ended up not running into the street, not getting hit by a car. It just happened to be the child on its own understood not to go into the street, so perhaps a Birchas HaGomel is not warranted. But more fundamentally, I think it's a big question whether or not a Gomel should have been recited, because after all, the child is only a child. The Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Maharam Mintz. Now what happens when a child goes through a very dangerous situation? Let's say a child is very sick and comes out healthy and alive. What happens when a child gets in, Rachmana Litzlan, a very difficult car accident and somehow survives the experience and now is back and healthy once again? Should a Birchas HaGomel be recited, even if you have all the other conditions that would apply for a Gadol? Says the Maharam Mintz, no. Why? Because he said, as we know, a minor, a katan, an infant, a child, is certainly not held responsible, is not held accountable for their own actions. Once a person matures and becomes an adult, then they're held responsible. But as a child, the person doesn't have a responsibility and accountability for the different things that they do. And therefore, says the Maharam Mintz, and this is quoted the Halach and the Magen Avraham, how could a child say the bracha, HaGomel L'chayavim Tovos? What does it mean? The simple understanding of the words is, God, I really should have lost my life because I really owe so much to you, because I have made so many horrible mistakes in my life and I have disobeyed that which you asked me to do. I am a chayav. I am somebody who's guilty of terrible things that I've done. And I thank you that although I'm guilty, you have not taken my life on this occasion when my life was in danger. Says the Magen Avraham, for a child to say such a thing makes no sense. A child is not held responsible. A child is not held accountable for his own actions, and therefore you cannot say HaGomel L'chayavim Tovos. Says the Magen Avraham, maybe what the child means when he says HaGomel L'chayavim Tovos is my father or my mother, they did something wrong, which is the reason why I suffered. Says the Magen Avraham, is there anything more insulting that a child can say than that? You get up in public in front of the whole shul and you say, I'd like to make an announcement. HaGomel L'chayavim Tovos, I thank you God for saving me because my awful parents are such rishayim and really I deserve to lose my life because of the horrible things they did. And I thank you very much for sparing my life and allowing me to continue to live on a healthy lifestyle. Says the Magen Avraham, there's nothing that could be worse than doing that. And therefore he suggests, when a child goes through a situation where they are saved and their life is spared, he suggests that a bracha of Birchas HaGomel should not be recited. And the Maharam Mintz says, not only should the child not recite it, but the father or mother should not recite it on behalf of the child either. That is the opinion of the Magen Avraham, as quoted from the Maharam Mintz. There were those who disagreed, and they said that's not what the word chayavim means. When we say HaGomel HaChayavim Tavos, it doesn't mean that I did so many things wrong and I should have lost my life. Rather, it means I have an overwhelming account. I feel that I am a chayav. I owe so much back to you. Even a child owes so much back to God. Not because they've done something wrong, but because God is just ultimately giving so much to us that we feel we owe to Him. When we say the word HaGomel HaChayavim Tavos, it means I have an overwhelming sense of satisfaction and gratitude for all that you've granted me in my life, and therefore there are some who feel that the bracha l'chayavim tovos would be relevant to a child as well. It has nothing to do with averus or mitzvahs, with tzaddik or rasha. It has to do with the fact that in life we feel overwhelmingly thankful for all the gifts that the Ribono Shel Olam gives us, and maybe that's a good enough reason for the child to say it as well. This is a debate amongst the achronim, but the Magen Avraham's opinion, and my father has told me on many occasions that he thinks it is the correct opinion that should be followed, is that the child should not recite a Birchas HaGomel, nor should the parent recite on their behalf either. There is a ha'ara made by the Avnei Nezer, which is a very important one to think about. The Avnei Nezer points us to a Gemara Maseches Brachos. Well, the Avnei Nezer says, why can't the child just leave out the words L'chayavim? Just let him say, HaGomel Tovos, that I thank you very much for giving me wonderful things in my life. If the whole debate is just around what this word Chayavim means, just leave it out. So the Magen Avram tells us that's called a Mishana Mimatveya Shetavu Chachamim. If the Chachamim instituted a bracha in a specific way, that's the way it has to be said. And you don't have a right to start playing around with the words and switching the Nusach HaBracha and tailoring it to your circumstance, to your situation. Well, ask the Avnei Nezer, is that really true? Says the Avnei Nezer, we have a fascinating Gemara Maseches Brachas, where the Gemara says one of the Amoraim got sick, and his friends came to visit him after he had been cured, and they said, "Brich Rachmana diyavin lach v'lo yavich liafra." We thank God for giving you the opportunity to still be able to see us, and he didn't give you into the ground. And Rabbi Yehuda responded, when he was the one who was sick, he responded to his friends who said that, he said, "Amen." And then he told them that now you have been, you have fulfilled my obligation of saying a Birchas HaGomel. I no longer have an obligation to make the bracha. Says the Avnei Nezer, here you have a case where the Gemara says, they just said a very beautiful statement, they thanked God in their own way. They didn't say it according to the Nusach that the Chachamim instituted a Birchas HaGomel is supposed to be said. And yet Rabbi Yehuda's response was, by the phrase that you mentioned, I have now absolved myself of the obligation of Birchas HaGomel. So he says, don't you see that even if you play around with the words a little bit, the Iker point is, the fundamental point of making a Birchas HaGomel is to express your gratitude, to say thank you to the Ribono Shel Olam. So what does it matter if you say Chayavim, not Chayavim? What does it matter? You're at Tzadik, you're a Rasha, you deserve it, you didn't deserve it. As long as you say thank you, that's good enough. So says the Avnei Nezer, why shouldn't a child be able to do the same thing? Let him say his own Nusach, the Bracha of Birchas HaGomel, and say thank you in his own way, which will be tailor-made to his circumstance. That is the question of the Avnei Nezer. He gets into a whole discussion about how to perhaps suggest an answer for that, but that's a very interesting issue to think about. We can take this whole question one step further, and that is something that honestly I have put tremendous amount of thought into over the last couple of months. I've mentioned on a few occasions that this past summer I was in Camp Simcha for the summer, and I'm sure it's painful for any of us to watch children suffer, but when you see it so closely and when you speak to them about their illnesses, it's something that is very difficult to try to understand. And obviously we can never understand these things. We don't understand the cheshbonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I've been thinking a lot about this because many, many of the children are less than 20 years old. And this is a very big question, whether or not we assume that a child after bar mitzvah, once we assume that they're mature adults a little bit, because at bar or bas mitzvah they are already considered to be responsible, so do we assume that a child before 20 years old is able to be mekabel and onesh, is able to get a punishment for something they have done wrong, or perhaps do we say until 20 they get off free? And the reason why it's been very much on my mind is, if you assume that until 20 years old they are absolved of the wrongdoing, then how could it be that we see all these children suffer? What's going on? So this is, in fact, a very difficult question. And Rabbi Avadia Yosef has a fascinating tshuva where in many different tshuvas, but one tshuva that he discusses is about the terrible story of Achenu Yotzei Teiman. He says about the terrible disgrace that took place at the Israeli government 60 years ago with those who came out of Yemen, and he writes in great descriptive detail how the government used to take these children who were a little bit sick, who had a small fever, they would take them to the hospital. A day later, they would inform the family that the child has passed away, and they told them that they buried them. Meanwhile, they were giving them off for adoption to other Jews, to other families, and it was a terrible disgrace what happened at the time. And they set up an investigative committee to look into the whole story and find out whether or not, in fact, when the government informed families that they were burying these children and they told them where the burial plots were, they set up an investigative committee to figure out, were they really buried there or not? And now the question was, do the families have a right to go and dig up the graves to do some testing and find out whether or not the child was really buried there? So this was the shaila that was presented. Rabbi Avadia Yosef gets into the whole discussion, and many of his contemporaries discussed it as well. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and many others tried to figure out whether or not there would be allowance to do such a thing, or perhaps it is unwarranted. Meaning, what are you going to gain by looking it up now, by digging up a grave at this point? What are you going to gain from doing so? Other than the fact that you can now have a claim against the Israeli government, but otherwise, what exactly do you gain from it other than your own psychological well-being, which I'm not making light of, but it's something that has to be dealt with. It has to be figured out whether or not this would be allowed or perhaps not. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, once a person is buried, you're not allowed to dig up the grave any longer unless it's to move them to Eretz Yisrael, it's for any very specific reason that's very important. But the Shulchan Aruch says, the achar stima sagola, in general, the general rule is, after you bury a person, you're not allowed to pick up the grave any longer. Why? Because we have an assumption that there's such a thing called cherdas eimas hadin, when there is a kever that is opened up, meaning it reawakens the spirit of their judgment. And because we have to be concerned that we don't want them to be reevaluated and rejudged again, therefore we're not allowed to open up the grave. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, and that is the opinion that we generally follow. So Rabbi Avadi Yosef gets into a discussion, how long after the death do you have to worry about that? Is it only 12 months? Is it even many years? And that's the whole discussion that's with regard to that. But in the context of this whole story, he quotes an opinion from the Achronim, the Avodas HaGeshuni, one of the very important Tshuvasvarim, that had the following story. There was a Chever Kadisha that one day didn't do the job properly, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and there are specific Tachrichim that every mace is supposed to be buried in. And the Chever Kadisha forgot to put on one of the articles of clothing that they normally bury the deceased with, whatever, for whatever reason. So they went to the rabbi of the town and they asked him, do we have a right to dig up the grave to enable us to do the job that we were supposed to do properly? We made a mistake yesterday. Can we go ahead and do that now, or perhaps now it's too late? And the rabbi said, it depends how old the person was that you buried. If the person was older than 20, then you don't want to reawaken the din because they're in the middle of being punished and they're going to be afraid from the kever being opened up. However, he says, if the child was younger than 20, then there's no reason why you should be afraid to open up the grave, because after all, they're not held responsible for their averus that they do before the age of 20. Where does he get such an idea from? This is based on a Gemara, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us that Yitzchak Avinu was negotiating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God says, Chatu Banecha, your children are living a horrible life and they're not following the laws of the Torah. So Yitzchak says, let's negotiate, let's break it down. I'll take some of the punishment for them, and you should knock off some of the punishment for them. And he says, anyone who did an Avera at less than 20 years old automatically gets knocked out of the equation. So the Achronim say, you see from the Gemara, from the discussion that Yitzchak Avinu puts forth, it seems that less than 20 years old, one is not held responsible for the averas that they do. Is that really true? Should we assume that is across the board? Anything that we do from 13 to 20 years old, we are not held responsible for? That is not really so clear. And in fact, the Achronim take it further and they say, let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, you have a child who passes away between the ages of 13 and 20. Would you say that we wouldn't say Kaddish for such a person? Because after all, the whole point of Kaddish is to alleviate their suffering in Gan Eden. It should take away from the din, from the harsh judgment that they're going to have in Gan Eden. So the question is, if this child is not even going to be held responsible for anything that they've done, maybe we shouldn't say Kaddish at all. So the Noda Yehuda writes, no, you still should say Kaddish because maybe there was a Gilgal from beforehand. It gets into Gilgal territory, I don't know anything about it. But this is a very major, major discussion in the Achronim. The Prima Gadim bring it down back to our discussion. Prima Gadim asks over here, well, maybe if we should assume that from 13 to 20 a child is not held responsible for their activities and they're not going to be punished for doing so, maybe that's reason to follow that when it comes to a Birchas HaGomel, they shouldn't recite it either. The same way a young child, an infant, doesn't say HaGomel L'chayavim Tovos because they're not held responsible, maybe someone from 13 to 20 is also not held responsible. That's what the Prima Gadim asks, and that's what he's wondering. So the Noda Yehuda says, he thinks it's unreasonable to say that between 13 and 20, no one's going to be punished for what they do. After all, he says, what are you going to say? A 13-year-old, a 15-year-old is allowed to, God forbid, go around the streets and start murdering other people. He's allowed to go and be mezana with anybody he wants. He's an adult. He understands what he's doing. What are you going to say? He's not going to be punished for that? He has a right to run around and wreak havoc all over the world and just run a life of lawlessness and do whatever he wants and no one's going to hold him responsible? Of course not. Says the Noda Yehuda, what does the Gemara mean when it says children won't be punished until the age of 20? That's limited to the halacha of kares, that we say there are certain averas that you violate which are punishable with kares. Those are considered to be more severe averas, eating on Yom Kippur, eating chametz on Pesach. Those kinds of averas, we assume, we give children a chance until 20 years old, till they're old enough to mature and understand the severity of these averas, so we let them get away with the iser kares. But anything else, we certainly would punish them from the age of 13 and on, because they are considered to be responsible adults. And not only that, the Chacham Tzvi points out, and he says a argument which is something you have to deal with, and that is, would you really say that less than 20 years old, a child is not held responsible? After all, when does one have to bring a carbon chatos in the Beis HaMikdash? If you didn't avera, that had you done it, b'mezid, had you done it with intent, you would have been chayiv kares. So now that you did it b'shogeg, you have to bring a carbon, says the Chacham Tzvi. So you have a child who's mechalel Shabbos. not a child. You have a 15, 18-year-old who knows exactly what he's doing. He's Mechal Shabbos. You would tell him he has to bring a carbon, right? How can he bring a carbon if he wouldn't be punished with Kares? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. The equation doesn't fit. So therefore, the Chacham Tzvi is very bothered with this whole idea about whether or not a 13 to 20-year-old is considered to be held responsible for the averus that they do. It is not such a clear understanding. And that's why many Achronim come to the conclusion that yes, even though there's a major discussion about how responsible they are, how much we hold someone accountable from 13 to 20, but the bracha of Birchas Hagoma, we assume, would be recited by somebody who is of age of bar mitzvah and on, because we assume they already are in some way responsible for their own activities. I'll just close with one absolutely fascinating shaila. It's not so relevant to us today, but I thought it was amazing. The Rugged Shaver Gaon was one of the great Gaonim in Europe, had a correspondence with one of his friends, and he says, what happens if you have a young woman who's married, 18-year-old girl who gets married, and now her husband suspects that she was being mezaneh? So there's a whole procedure that the Torah states. You have to go to the Beis Hamikdash, drink the water, and if she did something wrong, in the end, she's going to see her death that way. So he asked, how would you look at that kind of punishment? Is that called Misa Bidei Shamayim? Or is that called Misa Bidei Adam? Is that called like we are administering the punishment? Or is that God's doing the whole thing? It doesn't make sense when you give someone a cup of water with some ashes in it that all of a sudden they blow up and they lose their life. It seems that that's a Misa Bidei Shamayim. Well, the rule by Misa Bidei Shamayim is that you can't be punished until you're 20 years old. That's the threshold. On the other hand, says the Kli Chemda and other Achronim, maybe we should assume, in the end of the day, we are the ones administering the punishment. We're the ones giving the woman to drink. So maybe we should assume if a woman was a sota and she was less than 20 years old, we have every right to administer the punishment because that is called a Misa Bidei Adam. That is a man-made punishment that we are taking care of. It happens to be that it pans out in a miraculous way, but that I think is a fascinating discussion that ties into this as well. Should we assume someone 13 to 20 is held accountable, or perhaps for many different areas in halacha we would say that a person who's 13 to 20 is not held responsible at all?